John chapter 4, we're finishing out this section, verses 1 through 6, that we've been in for 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. We'll begin our reading, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, stop believing every spirit, but in contrast, be continually testing the spirits, if they are from God. And again, the word from means out of as a source. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. In this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which is confessing Jesus Christ has come in flesh is from God. And again, the word from means out of as a source. And every spirit which is not confessing Jesus Christ has come in flesh is not from God, again, as a source. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. You are from God as a source, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is the one in you than the one in the world. They are from the world as a source. On account of this, they are speaking from out of the world, and the world is hearing them. We are from out of God as a source. The one knowing God is hearing us, and he who is not from God as a source is not hearing us. From this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. Very important section in the Bible, 1 John chapter 4, at verse 1, everything is premised on 1 John 3:24, which says, and the one who is keeping God's commandments is dwelling in God, and God is dwelling in him. And in this we know that he is dwelling in us from the Spirit which he gave to us. That's the pivotal verse for both chapters 3 and 4 of 1 John. Because in chapter 3 of 1 John, John says that the one who has God's Spirit dwelling in him is purifying himself as Christ is pure, that is, keeping himself separate from the corruption that's in the world, because Christ is doing the work. Secondly, he is righteous because Christ is righteous. So the one who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them is righteous, just as Christ is. And thirdly, the one who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them is loving the brotherhood, the family of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God is producing that love. Three characteristics of the believer, and at the end of the chapter, he bases it all on the presence and indwelling of God's Spirit. But also, from that verse, that is the pivotal verse that moves us into chapter 4, and that chapter 4 is built on. Because in verse 1, he starts off by saying, beloved, stop believing every spirit. That's the literal translation. The command is to stop doing it because they have already started doing it. They just believe every spirit that comes along. It doesn't say don't believe every teacher. It says don't believe every spirit. Sometimes we get caught up in the human. Oh, he's so sincere. Or he really loves the Lord and he really doesn't mean any harm. In reality, what is the spirit that is influencing and ministering? Stop the habit of believing every spirit. The contrasting command is, but be continually testing the spirits. Much like they tested metals back in the days of Jesus. They would test it for its purity, for its genuineness. Be continually testing the spirits if they are from out of God as a source. So it has nothing to do with the human. The person could love the Lord, the person can be sincere, But if they're deceived and under a false spirit, it isn't really the person that we take in consideration, it's the spirit behind it. We are commanded to test and make sure that the spirit that's ministering to us is from out of God as a source. Then he gives the cause for the two commands in verse 1. Because many prophets, false prophets, have gone out into the world. And so he says, because of these false prophets that have gone out, and they are false spirits presenting themselves as angels of light and presenting a Jesus Christ from the scriptures, and they are a spiritual force, therefore many are deceived. So he presents three things that make up the test. How are we to test the spirits? First of all, in verses 2 through 3, we saw the confession of the believer. In this, you know the Spirit of God. First of all, every spirit which is confessing Jesus Christ has come in flesh is from God as a source. It's not making a statement. It's not stating a proposition. It's expressing some very serious doctrinal presentations. If you want to know what John's theology is, read the first verse of John chapter 1, and the first verse of 1 John chapter 1. We know from John's gospel that he presented his gospel to present Jesus Christ as all God. He presents his divinity. Well, Jesus Christ is the Logos, the very mind of God that was with God in the beginning, in fact, was God. He brought everything into creation. And John 1:14 says, and this word, the word of God, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So when John says Jesus Christ, in a theological presentation, he's presenting Jesus Christ as deity, God, which goes along with his name, Jesus the Christ, which is the Greek form of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Hebrew for Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one who has the complete and full outpouring of God's Spirit. That's what anointing means. It means to outpour. He has the complete outpouring and anointing of the Spirit of God. So in John's presentation here, every spirit which is confessing Jesus the Messiah, the deity of God, has come in flesh, is from out of God. In 1 John, the book that we're in, he's presenting the humanity of Christ. In 1 John 1:1, he says, that which we have heard from the beginning, that which we have handled, that which we have seen with our eyes. So John 1:1, you have deity, and 1 John 1:1, you have humanity. Every spirit that confesses that the fullness of God has come in the person of Jesus Christ, and that he was all man. He has come in flesh. This spirit is from out of God as a source. That's the difference between the true believers and the cults. The cults believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they're holding Jesus Christ as an English term for first and last name of a religious leader that lived 2,000 years ago. It called himself and presented himself as the Son of God. They do not carry the concept that Christ is Mashiach, the full outpouring of God and the very nature of God. The Gnostics did not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Because the Gnostics, those who profess to have special knowledge, the Gnostics said that everything physical and material is evil. Well, Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. He lived in a phantom body. Well, John says straight across the board, not every person, but every spirit that is confessing Yeshua HaMashiach has come in flesh is from out of God as a source. So it's the confession. He says in verse 3, "And every spirit which is not confessing Jesus Christ has come in flesh is not from out of God as a source." And that's straight across the board. "And this is the spirit of the Antichrist," he says, "which you have heard that is coming and is now already in the world." The spirit of Antichrist. The second test in verse 4 that we took last week, the confirmation of the believer. First the confession and then the confirmation. He says, "You are from out of God, little children, born ones." Those who have been born from out of the Spirit of God. You are from out of God as a source, point number one, the source, and then the success. And you have overcome them. The literal translation and meaning of the word for overcome are victories in the perfect tense, which means it has already happened. And the condition of all believers is they have overcome the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. So we have the source. You are from out of God because you have been born. The success is you have already overcome them. And the security tells us the reason, because greater is the one in you than the one in the world. The spirit of God in me is greater than the Spirit of God that's in the world, and His Spirit is keeping me. And that is the confirmation that I belong to Christ. He keeps me. And I only listen to the Savior's voice. We saw from John chapter 10 that Jesus said, He is the Good Shepherd. And He says, "My sheep are hearing my voice. They are following me, and I do know them." It's a factual statement. Well, the confirmation to the believer is that they are being kept by the Spirit of God and that we have overcome them and we're not taken away by the Antichrist that's in the world. For today, verses 5 and 6, the constitution of the believer. Very important. He says in verse 5, "They are from out of the world." Here is the first premise. There are two premises here. The first premise is verse 5, "They are from out of the world." The second premise is in verse 6, same formation, "We are from out of God." That's the second premise. Verse 5, the first premise, "They are from out of the world." That is the spirit of Antichrist and those who are under his control. "They are from out of the world." Based on this premise, look at the first thing that happens. On account of this, the first premise, they are from out of the world. On account of this, they are speaking from out of the world. Secondly, and the world is hearing them. Factual statements. Based on the fact that they are from out of the world, the first thing that happens is they are speaking from out of the world. When the false spirit ministers about Jesus Christ, the false spirit ministers understanding God from a human reason and logic. The false spirit appeals to people in their reason and their logic. For instance, the cults will say, "How could Jesus Christ be the Son of God and yet be God at the same time? There's God the Father and there's God the Son. So he's the Son, but he's not the Father." And then some have come up with God the Mother, because you can't have a son with just a father. You have to have a mother too. So they come up with God the Mother. There's a God the Mother and a God the Father, and they had a son. And they sent his son. But his son is not equal to the Father. The son is not the fullness of the Godhead in the flesh or human form. And they compare it to reason and logic in the human realm. In the human realm, this is not the way it is. You have a son. He's your son, but he's not you. And of course, God the Mother presentation and doctrine comes out of human reason and logic. You can't have kids without a mom and a dad. That's just the way the human logic and reason is. So the understanding of God comes from a human logic and human reason. They are speaking from out of the world. Even in presenting scripture, based on human logic and human reason. And then it says, secondly, and the world is hearing them, not might hear them. It's a factual statement. And John is presenting this as a design by God. If false spirits come and present a false presentation of Jesus Christ based on human logic and reason, and people hear it and follow it, it's because they are from out of the world and they are listening to the world's version of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. False teachers have a following. In fact, even in our city, many churches that teach false doctrine about the divinity of Jesus Christ are actually growing faster and larger than most Christian churches. So, just because a church group grows large in number doesn't mean that they're telling the truth. False teachers acquire a following. And there's something that false teaching, an advantage that false teaching has over correct teaching, that is in the human sense, is that false teaching appeals to the flesh. How to grow wealthier. How to get more money. How to become healthier. How to make all your physical circumstances go smoothly. Everything appeals to the human. We all want that. So if somebody can come along, present a gospel that appeals to the human, that's they have an advantage because people are attracted to that. The only people, I emphasize only, the only people that are attracted to the truth are those who are being drawn by the Spirit of God. Because false teaching appeals to the human. The premise is they are from out of the world. On account of this, they are speaking from out of the world, and the world is listening, is hearing them. Look at the second premise, verse 6. We are from out of God as a source. Notice John says we, not you, but we. John presents himself and others who have ministered with him. The second premise is that we are from out of God. First point based on this premise, the one knowing God. That's a literal translation. That's a expression that presents a continuous action, knowing is a present participle. The one who is continually knowing God, so that person belongs to God, is hearing us. He doesn't say the one knowing God should hear us or ought to hear us. He says the one knowing God is hearing us, and he who is not from God as a source is not hearing us. Notice the factual statements. From out of this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. So based on the second premise, the person who knows the Lord, who has that intimate relationship with the Lord on a continual basis, not a religious person, but the one who knows the Lord and has a continuous, intimate spiritual relationship with God, is listening to John and the others who have been called by God and sent by God to preach the gospel. But it is also a factual statement that he who is not from God is not listening to us. That's why we get so frustrated in trying to reach people for Christ in our own human effort. Because God's children will listen to the word of God and they will respond. God's children will listen to the word of God and they will respond. Those who are not from out of God as a source will not listen to the word of God as presented by those whom he has chosen and inspired to write God's word. If they're not following our teaching, John is saying, then they're not from the Lord. This is the test. In fact, J. Vernon McGee calls it his Geiger counter, that the word of God is his Geiger counter, and that he passes the Bible, the word of God, over the congregation. And the people who respond belong to the Lord, and the people that don't respond don't. Geiger counter checks for the uranium in the rocks and in the hillsides. And that the word of God was his Geiger counter to show who is of the Lord and who isn't. I like to call it the litmus test. The litmus test. The litmus test is that test where they take that purple dye and add it to certain bases or certain chemicals. And it changes color, and the color change tells you as to what it is. Just a person in and of themselves can say whatever they want to say about their own belief and their own relationship with the Lord. But the Bible says once you apply the Word of God and add the Word of God to that person's life, that is the litmus test as to who they really are. Are they attracted to the Word? Do they want to stay away from the Word of God? Are they not interested in what God's word says? John says, the one who knows God is hearing us. Why? Because God's spirit is in them and drawing them to the word. In John chapter 8, verses 30 and 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed, perfect tense, showing that they had already believed, but he said to them, the one who is my genuine disciple will continue in my word. But he told them. Here's a group of Jews who had believed he was the Messiah. And he says, you're genuine only if you continue in my word. If you don't, you're not genuine. That's not a human performance. It's because God has a design to draw people to his word. It is an act of God's spirit living within. And so he says, and he who is not from out of God is not hearing us. Notice he says us. That's John and the others who wrote the scriptures that's known as God's word. And he says, from out of this, we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. Who are you listening to? John says the person who listens to the world is from the world, and they will not listen to the Spirit of God. But the person who knows the Lord is listening to those that God has inspired with his word, but the person who's not from out of God is not listening. And that's the test. The spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. Is a person under the influence of the spirit of truth? If so, they will be drawn to the truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, he says to the Father, Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is about ready to leave. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die and be buried and rise from the from the dead and then ascend up to the right hand of the Father. And he's praying to the Father, sanctify them, keep them separate from you, for you. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Through God's word that God works to sanctify those of his people. It's a very interesting a test that Paul gave to the Christians in Corinth. You'll remember that false teachers had come into Corinth, and they said, oh, is Paul an apostle? Well, we are super apostles. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 8, 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 8, he says, here's the test that we present to everybody about ourselves. He says, in no way do we give a cause for stumbling in anything, in order that the ministry should not be scoffed at, but in everything, commending ourselves as God's servants in these ways, in much endurance, in afflictions, in necessities, in straits, that is, in narrow circumstances, in beatings, in imprisonments, in uprisings, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, in purity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unhypocritical love. And in verse 7, he lists the next thing for the test. It says, in the word of truth. He goes on to say, in the power of God, through weapons of righteousness of the left and of the right, through glory and through dishonor and through evil reports. He says this to say we do not want to give any cause for stumbling or an offense, that people would scoff at the ministry of God. In all of these areas, he says, we endeavor to make no cause for offense. And one of them in verse 7 says, in the word of truth. Paul says that our desire is to present the truth of God's word so that God's word cannot be scoffed at or spoken against as being false. He had this within him. And yet on the other hand, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, John says, little children, it is the last hour. And according as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, and now many Antichrists have come, from which we know that it is the last hour. And then 1 John 2:19, it says, they went out from us. Who's that? The Antichrists. John is presenting that they were in our fellowship. It is estimated that some 80% of those who are in the cults today came from a Christian fellowship church or background. And they went out because they responded to a gospel presentation that seemed more logical to the human and more reasonable. And there was an appeal, come over, we'll take care of you, we'll feed you, and we have food storage, and we have, I mean, all of this human appeal, the fleshly appeal. And yet John says, these who were part of us, they went out from us, but they were not really from us as a source. But if they were from us as a source, they would have remained with us, but in order that they should become manifest that they are not from us. He says this is God's way of showing. He says if they were from us as a source, they would have stayed with us because we're all from the source of God's Spirit. And this is God's way of showing who people are. The litmus test. The test of God is the truth of God's word and who, what truth they're attracted to and what version of the word they are attracted to. I've said this to you before, but it's very important to realize because it explains what's happening in the body of Christ today. There are two divisions that take place. When the gospel is preached and a non-believer responds and receives Christ, there's a division. That person is taken out of the world and is now a member of the body of Christ, the family of the Lord. The division. Jesus told the disciples that when people respond to him, that there'll be a family of five, and there'll be two against three and three against two. Some will receive Christ, some will reject Christ. And there's a division that takes place. So when a person responds to receive Christ, a division takes place. But also within the church. And I say that because the writers of the New Testament and the way they approached the church in the New Testament is that even though they were writing to a church, they wrote to a church as if there are non-believers involved. The tares amongst the wheat, especially in easy believism, you know, where you take the church out of the home, which is a very intimate time when people are learning of the Lord, which makes it very difficult for those who, like Peter said, would come in secretly alongside of, and you never know who they are. But once church is open to the public, anybody can come in. Anybody can talk and present themselves as belonging to Christ. Anybody can present themselves with their words and with their disciplined action as being a Christian. But nobody knows for sure. So how they handled it in the early church is that they just presented the truth of God's word. And they said there's going to be a second division that's going to take place. Those who truly and genuinely belong to the Lord are going to be attracted to the word, and those who don't are going to want to get away from it. They're going to leave because they don't want the spiritual gospel that applies to their spirit and their spiritual relationship with Christ. They want to hear something for the flesh. They want to hear how to make the flesh happy and how to get rich and how to make everything nice in this earthly life. How to be the best that you can be. A man's got a book out that says, learn how to be the best that you can be. He's got 40,000 people attending a church service. Because people are attracted to that kind of thing. We all want the best. We all want to succeed. But the test of God is whether people listen to John and the others or not. Now, it doesn't have to do with me. It has to do with John and those who wrote the Word of God. Are people listening? Are people searching out what John and the other writers of the Word of God had to say? Because the same Spirit that's in the believer is the same Spirit that inspired God's Word. It is God's design plan to take something that is physical, something that's tangible, something that can be touched and seen, to use that as a tool to express spiritual truth so that we don't have too much mysticism going on. We've got something in writing. God has inspired his word in writing. And then God turns around through those that he chose to write his word to say, if they are from God, they will speak according to this word. If they are not from God, they won't. And they'll be false, no matter how much the person being used seems to be loving the Lord or wanting the Lord. It's the spirit behind it that counts. It's a pretty black and white test. The spirit that's confessing that God himself has come in human form, that person is under the influence of God's spirit. The person who is overcoming the false prophets and the antichrists that are in the world, it's confirmation that they belong to the Lord because they have already overcome them because of Christ living within. And thirdly, by testing the spirits, do they speak according to God's word? And is the Spirit drawing a person to hear God's word? Really what it's all about. Unfortunately, many loved ones and many friends have snuck in under the radar. They entered into the church under easy believism, and even they believe that they're saved, but have never been born of the Spirit of God. Well, here's the test. What spirit is influencing your life? Are you being drawn to His Word? Are you being ministered to by what God inspired the writers of Scripture to say? Is it made alive to you? Are you following the Jesus Christ who is all God and was all man? Even though you might be deceived mentally by some of the presentations, is God's Spirit keeping you from being drawn away after a strange voice? These are the tests. Not the test of human performance, but the test, as I said, 1 John 3:24, that the Spirit of God dwells in those that belong to God. And when God's Spirit dwells in them, that Spirit of God will be confessing that God has come in the flesh. That Spirit will be keeping the believer so that they are not drawn away and taken away by the spirit of Antichrist. And God's Spirit dwelling within will draw us to the inspiration of God's Word. It'll be our food. It'll be the way that the Lord communicates to us. Well, 1 John chapter 3 and chapter 4 is all based around 1 John 3:24. The one who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them, those people belong to God. And these things will be happening. These things will be manifest in their lives. From here, we'll move on to the rest of 1 John chapter 4, as he's now laid the groundwork for us, as now he's going to minister about God's love that's already in and through the life of the believer. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the fact that we live by faith, that you are spirit and that you dwell within us. We can't see you, we can't touch you, and yet you've graced us with a great act of mercy by giving us the inspiration of your word in written form, something tangible, something that we can read and something that your spirit can use to minister to our hearts, that which enables us to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we thank you for that. We pray for this very serious teaching that John is giving us, that it too would go out throughout the body of Christ, the church today, because it is your plan for a second division to take place in the church that the church is staying away from. We pray that the truth of your word would be taught, that those who do not know Christ will be testified to and shown of their lack of salvation, lack of a relationship with Christ. We pray that the gospel message of Jesus Christ in its truth will go out. Pray in these last days that as we see and we're told that many will be drawn away by a seducing spirit and doctrines of demons. Help us also to take encouragement and assurance that those who belong to Christ will not be drawn away. And that's the confirmation that we belong to Christ. Because Jesus said in John chapter 10 that his sheep will never listen to a stranger's voice. We thank you for that. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for that faithfulness in the midst of our confusion, lack of understanding, the fact that we become deceived mentally. Out of your faithfulness, you keep us and minister to us and bless us. And we want to thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.